Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Good evening. My name is Diane Murray Ward. You are listening to Faceted Gems. Our theme song for Faceted Gems was developed and played by the cellist Brian Snow. Good evening, Faceted Gems. Give thanks for our blessings. Enjoy life and loved ones now. Mentor when you can. Silence allows us to hear the inner voice and concentrate on the good. Welcome to Faceted Gems. My name is Diane Murray Ward. I would like to share with you this evening the questions that we ask our guests. And if you've been following the program now, next month we will celebrate our first year on the air with Neil Blake. And it is because of Neil Blake that we have this wonderful show, and I'm so grateful, as my guests are, that we have an opportunity to share with you our journeys that have taken us from one occupation or love of work or craft to another. And it's through understanding the fact that each one of us is a faceted gem that we're able to come to that realization, in spite of what others may say, and in spite of discouragements, in spite of concerns that our family and friends may have about our choices. Sometimes you have to go with your gut feeling, and sometimes you just know that a change in occupation or career is the right path. And you have to do it with some sense, and you have to do it with some knowledge. You have to do it with some research, and you have to do it with friends and family. And sometimes it's just that leap of faith that gets you to the next step. So that's what we try to celebrate at Faceted Gems. We try to encourage and inspire. And by hearing the stories of so many wonderful, wonderful people, we hope to encourage you as well and give you the strength. And hopefully you'll look for the guidance that you need to help you on your path so that you can realize all those other facets that make you the wonderful, wonderful person that you are. We ask, when and how did you develop your interest? sometimes people know what they want to do from a very, very early age. Sometimes they've been inspired by other people. And sometimes it's just a gut feeling. Sometimes others see a skill or a trait in you that you don't see yourself. And that interest sometimes gets developed in that fashion. When did you become aware of that skill? Well, for some people, a skill is something they may take for granted. For example, if you happen to write well, if you're a good listener, you know, that's a skill. Not everybody knows how to write well, and not everybody knows how to listen. You know, there's a difference between hearing and listening. Hearing is when a sound wave hits the tympani in your ear and you hear. But listening, that's a very, very actively involved ability. Because to listen means that you're actually trying to comprehend what's being said. So listening is a wonderful and very valuable skill. Were any skills from your previous occupation transferable skills? Well, you know, the more mature we become, the less we need to reinvent the wheel. You don't need to reinvent the wheel to realize what other facets exist. And you know what? And those skills, you may not even realize, are transferable skills. That means that they can be used in more than one location, more than one occupation, and they're all valuable, valuable skills. It's what makes you you. Did you have to learn different skills? Well, sometimes you have to learn different skills in order to grow, and that's a good thing, because one of the things that our guests have always stressed is hoping that you're open to learning. We don't know everything, and you have to be willing and open to learning. You have to allow yourself the opportunity to develop, to be curious, to seek out individuals and books and literature. And, well, nowadays it's a lot easier, but seek out whoever knows what you think is lacking in what you need to do for your occupation or your next job search. Are you still evolving? That's a wonderful question. A lot of people love that question. They tell me both before and after we tape how much they enjoy that particular question. Are you still evolving? Well, the answer that all of them shared with us is yes. They're constantly evolving. They're constantly growing. They're looking forward to the next challenge. Sometimes it's a little scary to go to that next challenge, but they all say that they're still evolving. They're looking forward to what may come next. There's a little bit of hesitation, but they're still evolving because they feel, for some, it's a path that God has taken them on. And for some, it's because they realize that there's more to life than just what they're doing now. And they want to be inspirational. And they want you and me to know that that's possible, no matter what the age. By the way, our guests have wide age ranges. Never got into that with them, but wide age range, wide cultural range. And all of them have said they are all evolving. Different paths, different ways, always staying curious, always researching, always evolving. What are your next steps? Well, that sort of segues from they're evolving. What are their next steps? For some, they're going to lecture. For some, they're going to volunteer. For some, they're going to teach. They're going to travel. They're asking their friends and family what they think their next steps should be. They're asking people that they know care for them and only want the best for them. What should be their next steps? Where do you think they should go? Some are going to publish. Some are going to continue to keep doing just what they're doing. And in the course of doing what they love to do, what they realize they love to do, they come across people who provide them with their next steps. They come across people who are going to be those agents of change, those agents of change that are going to take them to that next level. They are people who network. They all network. They all network. Community, church, school, friends, family, supermarket, they all network. And it's not something that has to be done overtly. Just getting to know people and meet people, and in the course of what they love to do, which is such a joy for them, they find others, like minds, of who can help them get to that next level. Do you have ideas or suggestions for others? That's a question that's given to every person that comes on the air for Faceted Gems. I don't know that we're able to get to everybody, but that's a good question, too, because they come on the air because they want to be able to offer assistance to everyone else and for others to learn from what they've experienced. Almost all of them said to be open, to research, and to ask questions. And what's interesting is that some people think that they've already arrived, and they have to remind people that they're still taking baby steps. They're still in their infancy. They've arrived to a certain level in a certain way, but they're still excited. And that's one of the things that they also mentioned, having that passion, having that belief in yourself. And they suggest that, you know, when you feel down, don't stay around negative people. Surround yourself with positive people. Negative people will bring you down. But if you stay around people that are positive, that are encouraging, that are hopeful, that are looking towards something better, then, you know, that's something they said that keeps you up, because you're not going to always have good days. You're not going to always have good times. Everything that you write or read or make is not going to sell necessarily. But that shouldn't stop you. Surround yourself with people who are positive thinkers and encouraging. And you do the same as well. Try to be there for other people. And that's a very, very wise and strong suggestion. As others help you, you help as well. How can one get started? Well, that's another really good question that my guests enjoyed. How did you get started? Again, it was out of their curiosity, out of their longing, out of their need, out of their ability to say, you know what, I'm taking a chance, I'm a little bit afraid, but I'm going to take that step. Maybe I'll do some research first. Maybe I'll ask around. I'll ask people, if I did this, if I made this product, would you buy it? What do you think? Could you give me some guidance? Go to lectures. Go to conferences. Go online. Go to the internet. Join a group. People that do this already. Find people that do this. See how they develop. Learn from their business plans or whatever. See how they operate, and that will also give you ideas. But that's how they got started. How can we encourage others? Well, I think the best way to encourage others, quite frankly, is to be there for them and encourage them by saying, you know what, I'm there for you. That's how I think we encourage others, by availing ourselves, by being available to people and saying, I will be there for you. I will be there to help you. I can give you whatever guidance you may like. And just being there for people. It's wonderful to have someone positive and hopeful in your corner. What has maintained you throughout this venture? Well, Some of our guests have said they believe strongly in what they do. They feel committed. They feel that what they do is something that brings a better life, a better situation, joy, education to others. That's what inspires them. Sometimes they're students. If they're teachers or instructors, they're students. Seeing their clients achieve their goals, seeing someone enjoy that candle that you made, that's how they maintain their spirit. That's what inspires them, and that's what has maintained them. And for some individuals, because I asked this question, did anyone inspire you? Sometimes it's a family member. One young lady, she used to watch her grandma cook, and she loved cooking, and she just remembers that. And this young lady is now a grandma. Congratulations. And she was inspired. So, you know, we have all different kinds of ways of being inspired. And right now, I'd like to introduce you to our guest tonight. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi.
Hi, Mandy. Diane. How are you? Yes, it is.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine,
and
thank
I
you.
I was talking about someone who is so inspirational, and here is Mandy. Mandy, my guest, is the author of the True Nanny Diaries, and she has a wonderful book. This book was featured in a book reading fellowship that I had, and please talk about yourself, Nandy, to our guests.
Boy, I don't know where I don't know where to start. I really don't know where to start. I like to think of myself as a writer. And it was interesting, Diane, hearing you your introduction earlier. I was listening and thinking about discipline. That's the word that came to me,
mm-hmm.
that with everything we do, we always have to be so focused on discipline. And
right.
that is something that I'm always working on, you know. But so I'm a writer, not a very disciplined one, but I'm working to become that. And Basically, I'm inspired by what I see. People like to call me an activist writer, and that's from ever since, because I sort of react and respond to more like the human condition.
Yeah.
My work usually comes out as prose as opposed to poetry. And I just really try to, how I should say, just like kind of like tap into what people are feeling and talking about and what's current. And you
do that very well in your book, by the way. The True Nanny Diaries, ladies and gentlemen,
right.
is a book that she wrote. She's being very humble, and she talks about nannies. And, you know, these women do a fantastic job raising someone else's children.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you have no idea what they go through. And in this book, we are introduced to the lives of a few women and some of the hardships. I'm not going to give away the book, but some of the joys and hardships that these women go through on such a real day-to-day basis. And nannies are people that we see in our everyday lives all the time, all the time. And it's a wonderful, wonderful book, and it has spurred on some action that's going to help nannies and women that provide that service that, quite frankly, you know, they're necessary for the economy, for child rearing. They're valuable, valuable service, and people just tend to overlook them. They're just, you know, I don't think people really, really see them, and the depth with which you have been able to bring nannies, you know, to life, to focus, is really very, very good. I must commend you. It's a wonderful book.
Thanks very much, Diane. But the whole point is that in many ways, as you said, we see them. They're part of the daily lives, but we don't really see them. So it's almost as though they're just part. They're among us, and we just they're so easy to overlook, you know.
Yeah.
And again, it comes back to this whole idea as you were speaking about before, that you know, for them, this is their service. This is the thing that they do, you know.
Right.
They and the way they even. In their own lives, they're able to inspire others. Like my husband likes to say that, you know, there's always that whole talk about it, you know, because it's a lot of, you know, Black Caribbean women and
mm-hmm.
and their white children basically under their charge. He likes to say that and what they're doing in a way is almost like humanizing a new generation so that
mm-hmm.
maybe going forward there's a different understanding, say, between, like, African-American children and young white children as they grow up into adults. I don't know, you know, but, you know, that's his take on it. But, you know, definitely I feel really blessed that I like to say that the book came through me as opposed to me writing the book. And it happened because I was actually babysitting at the time. I was in college and, you know, I had a young daughter. And for whatever, you know, all the different reasons, I found myself on a playground in New York City. And the book was not my idea. It was actually my British lit professor who was from England herself. You know, she was saying, oh, Nandi, you got to write about this because people pay for this kind of ethnographical research, she called it,
right.
You know.
Uh-huh,
but it, to me, when I look at the book now, it kind of goes to show that wherever you are, whatever your circumstances, that some good can come out of it. You know, that I'm from Trinidad and Tobago, and there's this calypso, the songwriter, his name is David Rudder, and he says, out of a muddy pond, 10,000 flowers bloom, you know, and it. What I'm saying is that had I not been in that particular situation, then this book would have never come about because, you know, it's nothing that you can write about really from the outside. You have to really be in it and experience it on a daily basis. To really get what the woman goes through and what that life is like.
Yes, yes. You're listening to Faceted Gems on the Blake Radio Network Radio Soul. I'm your host, Diane Ward, and welcome. Welcome to Faceted Gems. Our guest today is Nandi, who is the author of The True Nanny Diaries. And we're so blessed to have Nandi on. I know that because it was sort of like an assignment, you know. It's still, you know, but it doesn't read like it's an assignment. It doesn't read like it's an assignment. It reads more like, you know, because it's such a socially conscious book, you know, I'm just so glad that you're able to come on because a lot of times people are inspired by for different reasons.
Right.
And you know, you gave a really wonderful, that's a reason we hadn't had before on the air. And I think that you never know where that inspiration, that reason, that cause is going to come from. And that was an opportunity that you ran with. You just ran with it.
Well, you know, they say art is art, whatever kind of art you do, like you talked about earlier, you know, if you're making a candle, you know, you might be making a soap. I was making this book, these words,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever is the way that we use to express it is just a way sometimes of the creator, as a tool the creator used to work on
mm-hmm.
us. That's the whole idea
yeah.
of art. So sometimes
yeah.
then even when we're, you know, doing this creative thing, whatever that might be, you know, it's a way of, like, working through our own stuff.
Right.
You know, and
right.
that's what this book, yeah, whatever it is, you know, you might be doing. Maybe it's beading work. Maybe, I don't know what to say, but it's a way that we can work through our own life stories, our own ways of seeing, you know.
Yeah.
And then at the end, sometimes the end result might not be too pretty, like, with my book, you know, the ending wasn't, you know, a nice bed of roses. But, you know, at the end of it, you know, I felt a sense of catharsis.
Right.
You know, that in some way, whatever it is I was going through, whatever it is I'm going towards, that somehow propelled me on my journey. And I
mm-hmm.
see it a lot with visual artists I might be around, you know, It might be dependent on their mood. It might depend on what they're going through or people around them, their environment, what they're taking in. Sometimes it's what ends up on, say, like the canvas, you know, which
right.
is like, you know, the canvas of life. So it really is an opportunity to work on self, even as we describe what we're seeing. You know, because
and
I
you
was
know,
really invested.
That's true. That's so true. That's so true. As we work through, because it was a very, I could understand why it was cathartic. And it's so true when we work on, especially in the arts, as you work through things and there's you come through in the piece, but there's also you're working through something as you do it. And even with this book, if you recall when we had the group talk about it, we had already wanted to know when was the next one because we didn't want to let go of the characters, remember? We had already decided that, you know, well, there's going to be another one, right? And I have
you know,
to tell you, listeners, she hadn't thought about that, but we had ideas. You know, so,
is,
I mean, we were still working through stuff with the characters.
It is so funny now that it's just about 2 weeks ago, and we met probably over almost 2 years ago, I did your book club.
Right.
But about
That's
2 weeks ago, this character, Vandy, actually started to talk to me again. But now
wow.
she went into a totally different situation, but was referring back to the True Nanny Diaries. You know,
wow.
it was the most amazing thing. So I'm looking to see, well, where exactly that
Well,
go,
I am.
You know?
I am grateful. I am grateful that you wrote it. And besides all this, you know, she works in a publishing house. You know, reproductions, and she's doing all these things. And all of this is coming. And she's a mother, a wife, and mother. And she's doing all this. And she's finding this time because of her passion. And you really do have a gift and a skill. And I know you were writing a play.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so
yes,
so you're evolving still. You're still going on
yeah,
and
I'm
on
still,
and on.
I'm still, you
know, creative
you know,
juices.
Right. As you know, as they say, you know, as long as there's breath, you just keep on going one foot in front of the other. You know, and that's what it is for me right now to really work on inhabiting every moment of this life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's where I am. To be present in every moment.
What is your next project?
Well, actually, right now, my project I'm working on is called At the Feet of the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
And what that is, it's I'm looking at some elders from the Caribbean, like people like the Mighty Sparrow. There's a couple of songwriters, but like elders and masters in their field. And what we're looking at is having them live in conversation. This is going to be taking place at the Brooklyn Children's Museum in June. So as of right now, I'm not working on me per se, but on trying to really celebrate these elders in a way that you don't usually see them. You know, people
That's
know
wonderful.
Of the, yeah, people know of the Mighty Sparrow, for example. You know, he's singing, he's been all over the world, he's received every possible award. But, I mean, have you ever heard his voice in terms
yeah.
of, you know, what inspired him? Where is he going? What is he like? You know, so that's what we're actually going to be hosting him in conversation. You know, and, you know, he, of course, is an elder now and sort of not too well. So I'm looking forward to that. Then there is a painter called David Moore, and his work probably hangs in the houses of so many Caribbean people in the diaspora and other people as well all over the world.
Well,
and
you know what? I'm sorry. I think that this is the taste, the little tip of the taste that we have to give people to inspire them
mm-hmm.
to look and inspire. That's what I was saying earlier. For them to know, thank you so much, Nandy. I have to end the show right now, but
yes,
I just
okay.
wanted you to be able to, as I was saying, listeners, here's a young lady who is giving you a tip, inspire, to learn from our elders, as you said, Nandy.
Yes.
And thank you. So much, Nandy,
and
for
thank
coming
you so
on
much, Diane.
I appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to the June event.
Okay,
ladies
great.
And thank you, and welcome. And here is Brian Snow. Thank you for listening to Fast Food Gems. Love everyone. Empower us. just can't dream and believe in the positive energy. I'll get tonight, but then thank you. Good night.